This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. I'm pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Randy Conan and Tyler Donaldson. The Midwest will see a mostly favorable mix of rain and sunshine over the next 2 weeks that should allow for good planting progress to be made. World Weather Incorporated says rain chances will increase this weekend from southeastern North Dakota to northern Illinois before turning more scattered Monday. The northern plains will be drier in the north with the best chance for moisture in the south and west.
Weather Incorporated senior ag meteorologist Drew Lerner expects to see another cold spell later this month, led by a storm system.
The next change coming to our weather probably in the latter part of April, when we will probably have another larger storm system impacting the area, followed by some cold weather. The cold won't last long at all. We'll bounce right back out of it, and hopefully we'll have just enough moisture from that event that we will be able to sail into the month of May and firm that soil back up again and go like gangbusters in the fields. That's kind of my expectation. So I think it's going to be a good scenario getting started here.
His next big concern is the possibility of dryness this summer.
We do expect the summertime to be very warm and dry, not necessarily right here in the Northern Plains, Upper Midwest, but to our south, there's going to be a lot of heat and some dryness of significance that will impact parts of the central and southern plains, a portion of the western corn belt. And we'll be on the northern part of that. And if the ridge of high pressure that's responsible for that heat and dryness becomes too strong, it will overrun our area.
In the latest USDA drought monitor, USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says that drought conditions are improving in corn and soybean crop areas.
Corn and soybeans in drought, pretty good news there. We see less than a quarter of the U.S. corn and soybean production areas currently in drought on April 2nd, 24% of the corn crop, 22% of the soybean crop that will be mostly planted in the next several weeks. Now, both of those crops have been on a steady general downward trend since about early summer of 2023. Just to remind everybody, we actually saw corn in drought coverage as high as 70% in late June of 2023. And at the same time, June 27th of 23, 63% of the soybean production area was in drought.
Hay and cattle drought conditions have also improved since last summer.
Hay and cattle in drought, starting off with hay. Good news there as well. Should be a good year for hay production, generally speaking, across the United States. Yes, a few lingering drought pockets, but the broader picture is favorable. 14% of the U.S. hay production area in drought on April 2nd. That is down from 42% last October. And then for cattle in drought, just 13%. That also down from last October's peak of 47%. So I know we're still trying to recover the cattle inventory from multiple years of drought, but at least the current picture is favorable for starting to rebuild some of those cattle herd numbers.
The mission of the National Wheat Foundation is to help with research and education for wheat growers. Foundation Chairman Bernard Peterson says that a large part of that is the wheat yield contest.
The main thing the Wheat Foundation is involved with is research, outreach, and education. One of the biggest things we do for education is the wheat yield contest. And winter wheat deadline is May 15th, spring wheat deadline August 15th. So as people get in the field of spring wheat, of course here in this part of the world, the spring wheat's getting ready to go in the ground. Our winter wheat in Kentucky will harvest in June. But we have a brand new website for the yield contest, wheatcontest.org, www.wheatcontest.org.
Peterson says wheat acreage is down this season, but the crop is looking good.
We've really got a beautiful wheat crop started. Acres are down in our part of the world. We're soft red, and acres are down some. Always a concern this time of year. The wheat broke dormancy a little early, and so spring freezes can be a problem. We'll see how that goes. We've really got about 14, 20 days to worry about that kind of badly, but we'll see.
The Minnesota Senate Ag Policy Bill passed on a vote of 58-9. Senate Ag Committee Chair Eric Putman says this is a show of support for agriculture across the state.
For the most part, was virtually unanimous among people who think before they vote, which is a really great sign, I think, for the bill and for the legislators' support of agriculture more generally. So some of the big things we did, we tweaked the Grain Indemnity Fund, which was this huge accomplishment last session, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners are aware of. Another thing we did is we started a portal at the Department of Agriculture so that, you know, citizens can report perceived potential violations in the corporate farm law. Minnesota has one of the strongest anti-corporate agricultural land ownership laws in the country. So when people try and skirt that, you know, if Bill Gates wants to buy a farm here, we want people to be able to let us know what's going on.
While this is not a budget year, a smaller ag finance bill is expected to hit the Senate floor in the next couple of weeks. Putnam says much of that will go toward the water nitrate issue in the karst region in the southeast part of the state, but he hopes to include a few other priorities.
One of the things that's really important to me is soil quality. You know, we had three times as many applications for the soil health program that we do. So I think we should put a little bit more in that program because it's doing a lot of good. I'm also really thoughtful, I guess. I was going to say concerned, but the high path problem is getting pretty big. And some of the things we're hearing about the evolution of the disease and its prevalence, we got to do something to stop that. So I'm inclined to put a little bit of money into grants for turkey lasers, also because turkey lasers sounds cool, but primarily because it stops waterfowl from getting our poultry sick.
Two Egyptian ships filled with wheat are being held in Russian ports. These ships were scheduled to leave at the end of March, but Russian authorities are not letting them sail. The Egyptian supply minister said that it's a dispute over paperwork. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. AgWatch Market Advisors President Dewey Strickler says the livestock markets are mixed here today.
As far as the hog market is concerned, we've had a little bit of a pickup in the product values here. That's supporting them. When you look here at the cattle market, of course, we topped here a couple of weeks ago, and cattle market's just been under pressure ever since. I think we're just looking at, the market's just backing off from being overvalued more than anything else right now. I think there is some question here about the consumer demand here. We did have beef exports up here last week, but that hasn't had much bearing on the market there. So there you are.
Perham and Tri-County Stockyards owner Mitch Barthel says despite a volatility in the cattle futures, he continues to see strong cash sales.
We're seeing some fall calves. We're getting ready for a few fall calf sales coming up. The runs have shortened up, being a few less numbers in the countryside. The market's been very, very strong, even with the onset of the bird flu we've had in Texas and Kansas here, and a dairy cow that's weighed on some of this futures market. The cattle are still selling very, very well. Way-up cows are very, very strong, the highest we've ever seen. The bulls, the way-up bulls, same way, very, very strong. Fat cattle are selling really good, but these way-up cows and bulls are at all-time highs and the highest we've ever seen them. So that deal is going very, very good.
And following drought through much of Minnesota last year, Barthel's still isn't seeing much cow and calf or heifer retention.
With the markets we've seen, they've been selling cattle right along and doesn't look like they're retaining much. One guy did call this morning. He's going to retain some cows and sell them next fall. He's got everything lined up, and one thing, we don't know what rain we're going to have for the summer. So I think everybody's got their numbers kind of set, and the market is so good. They're selling a few cattle and trying to catch up on some bills and getting ready for field work and buy some fuel and seed and fertilizer and things like that. So they're getting ready for that, and I don't see many cattle getting retained.
AgriSampo North America market analyst Sterling Smith says the grains are finding a little footing.
Soybean market is catching a little bit of a bounce here. It looks to be more technical than anything else. We do have the April WASD coming up next week. And while for domestic balance sheets, I don't think we're going to see any changes of any significance at all. But they may very well cut that Brazilian soybean production a little bit, and they may cut corn a little bit. And that is creating a little bit of buying pressure in the market here. Today, there's not a lot of big news running around.
Minneapolis wheat led the wheat complex higher on Thursday. Money Farm owner Allison Thompson says that was a reaction to the export sales report.
Wheat is obviously kind of running behind, but actually hard red spring wheat is seeing really good exports for both old crop and even new crop now that the marketing year is coming to an end. We are going to start watching for some new crop sales. So maybe that's starting to catch the market's attention. I know looking at futures, you wouldn't think that to be the case, but maybe the market is finally starting to see some of that, that there is some demand there, and maybe we'll see it reflected in price. But just like corn and soybeans, spring wheat has been relatively range-bound for 6 weeks. We've been kind of stuck between that 640 to 680 mark. So we really need to see a break out of that before we get too excited about seeing some higher prices on the horizon.
Moorhead, Minnesota Senator Rob Krupek believes the proposed legislation that would help address rural veterinarian shortages in the state is in a good position to pass this session. Krupek said this would increase care capabilities of veterinarian technicians.
Good news there. It is weird where things get housed. That's actually, so it got housed in Health and Human Services. We did get the language on the veterinary technicians, giving them the ability to get licensed and to take off some of the loads of those veterinarians. And on the University of Minnesota, too, had some requests around veterinarians. Those did get included in the Health and Human Service omnibus bill. That hasn't come out to the Senate floor yet, but it is in the bill in both the Senate and the House. So I'm feeling pretty optimistic about those.
Right to repair legislation, though, has been halted for this year.
The right to repair bill, which I am carrying, kind of stalled out. There's still some people who I think they want to do two things. One, there is that memorandum of understanding that a lot of the companies have worked into. And though while I still hear from a lot of farmers that they have some problems with it, I think some of the other legislators want to see how that's going to play out, that it hasn't been long enough. And I think some also want to see how the upcoming law in Colorado, which they passed specifically around ag equipment, also plays.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Emily Beal. Emily, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
Yeah, so this week's Ag Week cover story is all about dicamba and the 2024 planting season. So a federal court in Arizona vacated the registration of over-the-use dicamba in February, and that obviously is going to impact producers' planting season as we head into it. So I talked with some producers and with some extension agents, and you know, the good thing is there is an existing stocks order. So what that means is that all of the dicamba products that were already produced and put through a channel of trade, those are able to be purchased by producers and dealers, and they are able to be applicated this 2024 growing season. After talking with some people in the industry, it does seem like there will be enough product for this planting season, so it's not necessarily something farmers are going to have to really worry about, but this decision is definitely going to impact the 2025 planting season. When I was talking to extension agents, you know, they just really recommended for those that are a little nervous about the dicamba switch to really talk with your extension agents, your dealers, to find out what's best for you and your acres. And they said, you know, this might not be a final decision. We see appeals all the time. So I think it's going to be a really interesting thing to follow in the coming years.
Well, sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Quick look at markets before we leave you. May wheat, Minneapolis, a penny and three quarters higher at 648. Chicago wheat, 10 cents higher at 566 and a quarter. Kansas City May wheat, 4¾ cents higher at 582 and a quarter. May corn futures down 2 cents at 433 and a quarter. July down a penny and three quarters. December corn down a penny and a half at 471 and three quarters. Soybeans May futures, 5 cents higher at 1185. August 3¾ cents higher at 11.95. Feeder cattle, April down $5.17 at $237.52. This is the Red River Farm Network.